Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Stand By Your Band. I'm Tom Takkar, the Wolf of Dog Street, joined, as always, by the Prince of Snarkness himself, Tommy McNamara. How are you, Tommy?
Doing very well. Just got back from old Chicago. Had a great week. It's very exciting.
Did you take the train back, too?
No, I only took the train there. I flew back. Thank the Lord. Yeah.
I was going to say, that's 38 hours on the train. I thought you were going to be there for like 3 weeks, too. I was really a 19-hour train ride to be there for how long? Like 3 days?
Like 3 days, yeah. So it was worth it, I would say. It was good.
You got to see the Cubs, but minus Rizzo and KB, even though they were on the team.
I got to see the last game of the year, which I will think of as something that's cool because it was the day before they traded everyone. Got to see, and we were in the bleachers, me and my parents and my brother, and we did get to see a fight in the bleachers, so it felt like we got the whole experience. The
only
it's like that doesn't even make sense. Yeah, the only downside was we did one of those. You ever do the architecture tour in Chicago?
I have not. Antonia wants to do that. She was just talking about that.
So we did that, and then this tour bus of this big band dumped all their shit on us.
All right. Here we go. We're in, baby. We're talking.
Jared, do you know that story?
No. What happened?
Oh, man. Dave Matthews Band. Yeah. We'll introduce you.
First off, let's introduce our guest. You know him from You Up and the J Train Podcast. Give it up for Jared Fried, everybody. I don't know why I said give it up as if they're clapping at home. But
they can clap at home. They should be. Let's get into this. Let's do this.
Hands on the screen, we'll clap.
Wait a minute. I need more about this train. Yes. Why did you take the train to Chicago? I'm going to Chicago for a week. I love Chicago. The fact that you sat in the bleachers, like that's, I can't wait to do that. Like that's part of my week there. Like I feel like internally feel good sitting in the stands at Wrigley Field. I feel like something wash over me that of all good and love and excellence, it's just like beer. And it's just, I'm at my happiest there. So why did you take the train?
Well, I just waited way too long to buy the tickets, and it got to the point where flights to Chicago, I've been flying to Chicago back and forth from New York since I moved here like 5 times a year. And there's like a certain number where it hit a certain number, and I was just like, oh, fuck this. Like on principle, I will not pay for this flight. So,
oh my God.
Yeah.
For like a regular plane ticket to Chicago is insane.
Well, you know why? We all get fucked because it's not a Delta place.
Yes.
So, and Delta is huge at LaGuardia and at JFK. So you lose out on two airports, really, because that's an American city where you can only get American. That sounds stupid. American Airlines city.
Yeah.
So it happens. So like I fly through Milwaukee because I only fly Delta, or I fly through Atlanta. So anytime I go to Chicago, the flights are way more expensive and there was way less of them because they just like box you out if you're a Delta person. Also, if you're a New Yorker, you get kind of boxed out.
Yeah. Well, that's why you just got to take the train. It's only 19 hours.
That's why you take the 19-hour train.
How much? It was $19?
No, it was 19 hours long. it was like one way it was like $60, which is, it was a great price. But
this is the craziest thing is the bit I have about Spirit is about Chicago, where it's like I flew there round trip for $60 or $62 or something. I mean, it was Spirit, so it sucked, but it's like,
but you have to, I mean, there's a price point where it's like, can I deal with it? The $60? And so what was, did you have a bed? Did you, or were you just straight up a chair?
I was in a chair for the full 19. I was by myself for
even the chair because he was so weird.
For like 10 of the 19 hours, I had the two seats to myself. But then there was another nine where I had an Amish guy next to me. And we talked about it a little the last one, but it was, yeah.
Did you regret it at any point during the 19 hours, or were you like $60 the whole time?
I'd say about 16 of the 19 hours, I was regretting it actively.
Regretting it?
Yeah, it was brutal.
What were those 3 hours like?
Well, the first 3 hours, I was just like reading a book. It was like fine. I was like, this is kind of cool. This is like peaceful, looking out the window, seeing, you know, the beautiful majesty of our country. And then 3 hours of that, I'm like, oh, fuck this. This is so stupid. I should have just paid for it.
Yeah. Just know it. Yeah. I guess the 3 hours of like, once you get past the point of like, I would have been there in my home. Yes. You know, like you go, oh God.
So
yeah, I used to be afraid of flying. So like I there's no alternative. I kind of beat it out of myself, and I fly so much now that I'm like, I actually enjoy it. Like I really do enjoy it. And there's really not a lot of prices that will price me out. Like if the trip to Chicago's $600, that's what I'm spending. I'm like, I can't even look at it another way.
I will do a thing, and I've done it so many times because I have a car where I'm like, okay, there is a world where I drive and it's going to be 13 hours and I'll be done, and it'll cost me like, you know, $60 in gas and tolls and shit. And I just can't do it anymore. Now I'm like, that is insane. What am I doing? Well,
this is the reason to sign up. And I know this is like me, like now I'm hawking Delta, but like, I was basically told like you have to commit to an airline. Like at a certain point, if you're going to fly a lot, you commit. And by way of committing, you have to get the credit card, the membership. So if I'm spending an exorbitant fee on a ticket, but I have to buy it, there's a little piece of me that goes, well, I'm getting the points double because it's on the credit card that's with Delta. Plus I'll get the miles. It'll come back around in some way to like treat me better for having done it. So that was like my, you know, part of it. It makes it, the sting lasts a less time.
I also think about it when I'm doing my taxes. I'm like, well, I'll be able to write off that expensive ass flight. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I also want to stay on the list. A lot of people on that train were hawking Delta, I heard.
I love you trying to sign up for a credit card for Amtrak. They're like, we can give you a checkbook. Put name on it. Does that work?
We can give you a bag of coins and a wish.
We have WIC cards. Is that? Yeah, I got to do that too because I'm with Southwest and it feels a step above the mega bus.
I can't even believe I'm talking to you guys, a bus guy and a train guy. No, this is, I can't believe I came on this show.
I think we got to, because you touched upon it earlier, we got to get into it right off the bat. So we're talking about Dave Matthews Band, of course, today. And the story that Tommy was referencing is the story that a lot of people referenced already in the Facebook comments and stuff. But it's one of the most famous Dave Matthews Band stories, so much so that there's like a 15-year anniversary like post about this. Like, there's like an article about it. The Chicago Tribune, because it's been 17 years since this happened. This week, actually, August 9th.
Well, that's why I went back. Yeah, I was.
So it's crazy that I'm the person doing Dave Matt. You were like, would you do the show? And what band would you do? And I'm like, I like Dave Matt. I'm like not a music guy. You know, like I don't go to, I don't like going to concerts really. So like I'm taking away from someone who's like probably a Dave Matthews super fan, like that should be here. I don't even know what story you're referencing, to tell you the truth.
So this is more, the reason we know it's more of a Chicago story than a Dave Matthews Band story.
Okay.
Because Dave, so Dave, Tom, you can explain because you have like the stuff pulled up, but Dave Matthews got banned from playing in the city of Chicago because of this story.
Oh my God.
That's why he would always play Alpine Valley in Wisconsin that's when all like my high school friends would go see him. He was playing in Wisconsin and that was one of the Chicago dates. Yeah.
Okay. So I'm going to just read this article from the Chicago Tribune because I think the wording of it will really paint the picture. So this is from the 15-year anniversary. It was 15 years ago this week that a bus driver for the Dave Matthews Band toggled a switch that opened a tank and sent a torrent of the kind of human waste generated during a rock and roll tour on the opening grating of the Kinzie Street Bridge. The problem with that is what happened beneath the bridge over the north branch of the Chicago River has been well documented. People enjoying one of the city's top tourist attractions, which is that Chicago architecture tour, took a direct hit from almost 800 pounds of earth-toned slurry flecked. Earth-toned slurry. I can't believe that's in the Chicago Tribune.
this person was like, I am showing off my creative writing degree. It is time.
That is fully
worth it. This article is going big. I'm going to really let the wordsmith fly.
Yeah, flecked with bits of toilet paper, a mixture ranker than a porta potty on a rock festival's third straight 90 degree day. They never got to finish the architecture tour that day, but they did learn a thing or two about, forgive this, flying buttresses. Oh, God. This person is an ass.
The writer really puts me on the side of the DMB once again. This is DMB. This is Dave. This is what Dave Matthews gets into. It is always a little slanted against them. Like this story, like the way they're telling it is this person's sonnet they wrote.
This is definitely their best.
I get to take down Dave Matthews. Me, please.
Oh, look at this. I just looked at the writer's bio. It says it's Steve Johnson, and it's under his name. It says Steve Johnson formerly covered arts and entertainment for the Chicago. Yeah. This may have been his last piece of work here.
This is his greatest thing. He was like, after this article, I've done everything I need to do.
DMB settled a civil lawsuit that the state of Illinois had brought. Illinois had brought paying $200,000 to be used towards environmental education. It's pretty bad to have been on that. And it's like the moment the whole thing about the moment that they realized what happened. And people are like getting sick all over the tour.
It sounds like a real
nightmare.
So the story is that the tour bus just let the shit from the bathroom out on a bridge. Into the Chicago River. So I mean, that's horrible. I don't even know. I mean, I can't believe that it's that easy on a tour bus to just flip a switch and all this shit just pours out.
I did not know about that. And it's got to be just the way that it was sounding. It was like a tour, or it was like a concert worth of it, where it's like, no, it's got to just be the band and like the roadies stuff, I'd assume. But pretty messed up. I guess I didn't ever think about what people do with that, or I don't know what they're supposed to do. So, I mean, maybe it's like a horse thing where it's like, you just let it out on the road. I don't know. I don't know.
I can understand someone assuming that this is like them thinking they're rockers, like letting it loose. Oh, we're going to let our shit loose on the Chicago River. You know, like I can understand that being like the assumption, because like, why wouldn't they just do this like at a gas stop on the way back? You know what I mean? Like why there is really the question.
Yeah. I mean, I think you're right. I think it was probably just like, I have a feeling, because this is the driver, I feel like he was probably just like, I could probably get away with this. It'll be fine. It's a river. It's a large river.
Dirty river. But yeah.
I guess, I don't know. There's like a spectrum to everything. So it's like, I can see like the most kind way to look at it towards Dave Matthews Band is it's a driver who just didn't give a shit, like quite literally. Yes. And that'd be the kindest, the most harsh way to look at it is Dave Matthews wanted to fuck with Chicago.
You know, like, we'll turn the river green.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's interesting. Like, have they ever talked about it? Did they get interviewed? Like, when you write an article where it's like shouldn't they have a piece saying this? Like, I would love to hear Dave Matthews be like, we really always felt bad. Or he's like, fucking hate Chicago. That's why we did it. You know, like, I don't know what his response is.
He's just like, we shit too much.
It should be known that they had to admit that it was, so they toured in five separate buses, and the the bus that was the culprit was the one used by band violinist Boyd.
So see, I don't like this either. This is a little racist. Playing the one black guy in the band. Oh, that was Boyd's bus. Yeah, like, what? That's fucked up.
Oh, somebody had he says the web went a little wacky with wry fecal references and creative new ways to put down Matthew's band. Someone, he doesn't give this person credit, but somebody said still the best DMB release of all time.
Man, that was written in the 15-year article.
Yep.
15-year anniversary. See, this person was already came in with their pre-existing, you know, like shit. This is what we were talking about before we started taping. This is like, this guy lived in Brooklyn.
Yep.
He's like, anybody who went to a Dave Matthews Band concert is a loser, is an asshole, is a bully, is someone that shoved me in a locker. And this was his real chance to write the scathing review of Dave Matthews that he's always wanted to write.
Yes. Yes. I think they were coming in hot and they could not wait to burn DMB with this. But I am curious. I'm not seeing anything about them having a comment on it. Let me look that up real fast. DMB.
I mean, Dave Matthews seems like a funny, good guy to me. Like, yeah. And I think he like just recently saved a fan on the side of the road or something.
Oh, wow.
There was like a recent story. I could be making that up. Where he like saved a fan like that was like going to his concert. Like they had a flat tire in the middle of like the desert, and he was like, hey, need some help? And it was Dave Matthews. Like, and he's also in Adam Sandler movies. Like, he's buddies with Adam Sandler. There's certain people where if you're friends with that person, I just trust you a little bit more. So, like, I have that about, like, Adam Sandler. I'm like, if you're a friend of Adam Sandler, I have to assume you're a fun, easygoing person. I don't know why I mean, that's a pretty good marketing job by Adam Sandler. Like, I could be totally wrong, but I just have, it's like when I go to Trader Joe's, I just assume everything's healthy. Like, some people just have that about them. Like, I kind of assume that about Jimmy Kimmel. Like, I think if someone's like friendly with Jimmy Kimmel, I'm like, they must be a pretty good guy, you know, like, or a woman, whatever. So Dave Matthews.
Epstein, and I feel like anybody who's on there. I think,
hey, he never dumped no shit.
Yeah. So Dave Matthews being friends with.
Bus or whatever. He didn't get on the plane. He had to take a 19-hour Jeffrey Epstein train ride
and the mega bus to Epstein Island.
We'll move on from Epstein. Sorry, what were you saying, Jared?
No, I just assumed that Dave Matthews is a good guy. So I would love to hear if he was like, ah, man, you know, and just like in his Dave Matthews drawl, just like, ah, that was a shitty situation. I'd like laugh at it. Like, you know, like, I don't know. I can't believe he said nothing for 17 years.
Anything about it at least, but maybe it's because he was like, I think they gave money and he's like famous for giving a lot of money away and stuff. And I agree. He seems like a good guy. I've never heard anything bad about him. Yeah, he definitely suffers. I mean, we're going to get into this a lot, I think, because the biggest thing with them is the fans that people get annoyed by. And I think that he seems by all accounts to be a good guy. I don't know.
I can't see how anyone would have an issue with this band. I actually do. I think the person who has an issue with Dave Matthews Band should seek professional counseling. Like, I actually think they have a real problem with themselves, to be perfectly honest. Like, or they have like a real issue with someone from high school that, like, you know, they haven't gotten over yet. Like, I like the music's good. The band seems cool. It was, you know, like, I just don't get it. I honestly don't get it.
I don't think there's ever been a better lead in to our next segment, which is where we hear from the owner of the Comedy Attic in beautiful Bloomington, Indiana, Jared Thompson, our resident snob of the show. He hasn't done it in a while because he hasn't known a lot about the recent artists, but he, of course, had thoughts on Dave Matthews Band.
I have met Jared, yes, and I am excited to hear his review of Dave Matthews after the thing that I just said.
Because I have a feeling it's going to be very rough. He's usually pretty tough on things. I feel like this one's going
to
be one of the
anyone with more than 10 action figures is going to not like Dave Matthews Band. So I already know what we're going to get into here. Okay.
Here is our regular segment. They went to Jared. Here's Jared Thompson's thoughts on Dave Matthews Band.
What's up, y'all? It's this week's It Went to Jared. The boys are going to have a guest on defending Dave Matthews' Band. I assume that this is a defense and not an appreciation, just because, of course, they are fairly hated out there. Anyway, my stance on Dave Matthews' Band has always been that they're not good. I don't think that there's much of an argument to be made that they're a good band. But what I will say is that, like, they're not as bad as is made out to be out there. I think, much like Cubs fans or Fish or Grateful Dead or whatever, it's the fans that really have driven people to hate them more than they actually should. Like, for instance, you know, the Cubs, you know, in history have been so bad that the majority of people hate them, not because they beat their team, but because the annoying people on the other side of it just won't shut up about it. And that is, you know, also true of Fish and Dead fans or whatever. So I think that this is sort of like in that same realm where, like, the music is not good, of course, but they're definitely not as bad as, like, a lot of people will make them out to be. And I'll even go as far as to say that there's a couple songs of theirs that I don't mind. And, but the sort of the overall vibe and just kind of the type of person that typically likes them, you know, leads it to be true that they're kind of worse off than they should be just based on the music. So anyway, it's good to call you guys again, and I will talk to you later. Thanks.
Wow, so, I thought that was going to be way harsher, to be honest.
Me too.
Yeah, I've never heard his reviews before, but considering you say how harsh they are, to me, like I don't understand how someone says any music is bad. Like, I don't understand, you know, like, I, you know what I mean? There's so many different types, and there's people who enjoy it. They're like, and again, I'm not a music person, but I don't understand how someone listens to it and goes, see that guitar riff? Nuh-uh, hacky. Like, I don't know how, like, you know, like, I don't know how you even have that opinion on any music. So what's interesting about Jared's review is it's so he can't even get over the fans. Like, he referenced the and I've been talking about this for a long time on my podcast. I call it the Dave Matthews Band theory. It's like where people hate the fans more than the actual thing. And it's, and he's right. Fish gets that shit. You know,
the Cubs definitely get that.
Cubs, shit. You know the Patriots.
I still say it's well.
Patriots, yeah.
Patriots, Tom Brady gets that a lot.
Rick and Morty.
These are all good things. And just not like, not subjectively, objectively, like they it's good. Like, and the fact that he's your harshest critic and he's like, there's a few songs I don't mind. That means those are good songs. Like that's just, you know, like that is a not fair. He's giving the most unfair opinion in the fairest way he possibly can. So I would say to Jared, who I like and I've met before and he's a good guy, he should seek counseling. Like I said before, like he needs professional therapy. He needs to see someone. Yeah. Obviously he's hung up on someone who he's envisioning. He's thinking of one person when he's talking about it. Like, just like an anti-Cubs person is thinking of one douchebag in, you know, sitting next to Tommy in the, right, in the bleachers with a popped up collar. Like, you know, these are all straw men. We've created straw men. This is as much about our political discourse as it is about Dave Matthews Band.
Sure. That's fair. I think well put. I think
you can't listen to Two Step and go, fuck this.
I think we should listen to Two Step right now. That's on your playlist, I'm assuming, right? Because originally you said your whole playlist was just Two Step six times.
Well, I like the songs, the Dave Matthews Band songs that suck to me, the ones that aren't great are when they get like, when they're like, I like the ones that have a little emotion to them. Like I like the ones that have some drama to them. So Two Step, Typical Situation. And if I was to, Satellite is nah. Satellite got overplayed. Not a Satellite fan. Crash. You gotta love Crash. I don't like the ones where he gets a little too New Orleans.
Yes.
Where he's like, it's almost like he's trying to prove he's from
Are
there.
You talking like, about, I don't like, I did it. Like,
I did it. Funny, like the whole Big Whiskey and the Gru Crux King is like a little much.
I saw them. I'm pretty sure when I saw them, that's what had just come out. Maybe it was right after. I think it was like shortly after them. That is when I saw them for like a weekend. And yeah, that stuff I'm not super into. I like his like more slowed down. And then I'm fine with them, you know, jamming out or whatever. But I really prefer shit like Crash. I think that's where you're
right. Crush that, is so good. Crush is really good. Sorry to interrupt. And then there's another one I had. Bartender. Love Bartender. Yeah. So, okay. But go ahead. That's a great song.
Oh, yeah. Do you think when a Dave Matthews fan gets sober, they say, let's just say I'm doing two step six times. 12 steps right there.
You did it. You did it. I didn't think you could do it, but you did it.
is two step on your list of six?
Yeah. So two step. That's what I think I gave six. Two step Bartender. And then it's
we're gonna play
Crush.
Yeah. Crush. Crush is great. I mean, how do you not wanna like think of a chick across the bar when you listen to Crush, right?
That was in my like college. I had like a college Dave Matthews phase, and Crush was like maybe the main song of it. I'm so happy you picked that one because I love that
one. It's a fantastic song.
Yeah.
Wait, did you email it to us and I missed it? No.
No. Typical situation in two step and Crush are probably the three best of them.
Okay, let's listen to some of these. Let's go ahead and start with Crush since we just talked about it. I'm gonna throw that on here. All right, here we go.
Talking about here? What are we talking about here? What's the defend? Go to two step. Two step, the beginning of two step. Like, I don't understand how anyone doesn't go to a place. Like, I just don't understand. Like, doesn't like Jared like hear the beginning of two step and then just like look across the room at one of his action figures and go to a place?
I think he would argue
to the first place he bought those
Pops or whatever. Is that what the Funko Pop?
I don't know. Yeah. There's, you know, people are fans of those, and I appreciate that they like those.
We should have an episode where Jared just has to defend each one of those. Little really, really fast before we listen to Two Step, just about this song, Crush. Jay-Z has called this one of his favorite DMB songs. When told this fact during a 2004 Playboy magazine interview, Matthews replied, "Are you kidding me? You have no idea how much joy you just brought me because I love Jay-Z. I hear a genuine kindness and humor in his music. Jay-Z was sitting next to me at a club in Florida, and I didn't have the balls to go up and say, 'Man, you're a badass.'" That's what a spineless prick I am. He was busy. My friends and my wife were like, "Go ahead and say hello." And I'm like, "No, he's busy having dinner. Leave the guy alone." And then after he left, I was like, "I'm a dickhead."
Wow. Look at he's self-deprecating.
Don't mean to himself.
Yeah, well, he's he's almost the opposite of most of the fans. You know, maybe he needs to write one song that's like all about being self-deprecating so that the fans go, "Oh, we were wrong the whole time. We should have thought less of ourselves."
Let's see. Yeah, this is about spending all the hours of the night with a woman, never wanting it to end, and the feelings that come when you fall in love. Feeling like dancing, feeling like telling her everything that's on your mind, feeling like you don't know if you're right side up or upside down. I love when they just put a lyric in it. Yeah, I know. All right, let's hear.
Yeah, that makes me like him less, to be honest.
I think that was the guy describing the song. All right, let's hear some of Two Step here. I skip forward on this one too.
Can you imagine hearing that song and being angry? like that's what I keep coming back to is like, you heard that and you're like, no, yeah. No, only, it's horrible. Like only if they negative
were cranking stuff. It while I was on that architecture tour as they were like blowing by. That's the only way I'm like,
and oh, shit dripped down onto you. Yeah. I just that, can't understand. Also, the opening of that song is the best part to me. He does, you know, the one anti Dave Matthews, he goes into a place sometimes that gets a little hokey for me, but it is definitely, I like when there's passion to my DMB.
Yes, absolutely. He's good at a build up and yeah, it's fun to just hear him start getting after it. Seeing him live was honestly fun. It's one of those things that I only did it once, and it was kind of a thing where it was a little too much to be around those fans for too long because they were some of them were great. Like some of them were obviously they were my friends. I was there with them because not a huge fan of DMB, but I was like it was a good time to hang with them. But then some of them it was like just there to be fucked up, and it's fine. I like, you know, I like having a good time, but they were like too, it's the type of people who are like too proud of weed where you're like, weed is not cool. Like it's fun, but it's like, you're not, it's not cool to do it. It's like, yeah, it's just a drug. Like it's fine to do.
Well,
it,
if it's your also own. Like we're describing a douche from a certain era. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't even think this person is a concert goer anymore. You know, like, I don't think, like, because I, I'm trying to think, like, now you'd be like, who listens to the Dave Matthews Station on Pandora? Or it'd be like a guy with a young baby in the back.
Yeah.
Like, it's not, do you know what I mean? Like, I, to me, like, this type of person that we're all thinking about that, like, got too into Dave Matthews, like, they have aged out into being assholes of a different flavor, you know, like, or... They're like not as they don't have the energy they once had. Like I think that they're like not really. You would like this person today. Like it's a phase in the same way everything's a phase.
I'm curious if I were to go to a Dave Matthews Band like weekend like that again now, if it would still be though, because when I was there, this would have been like 8 years ago or something like that, and there was still like college. It was like high school students and stuff there and like college kids. I wonder if like new generations are still doing that or if it's like that's it's just people in their like 30s and 40s
I would assume it's like going to like a Kenny Loggins concert. Like I like it just but like with that yeah I don't think that there's like this new group. Like what's the music now that's getting a big revamp? Not Kenny Loggins, but it's like this other guy is like, people are going to his concerts now, like of a younger generation. Oh, I can't remember the name of the guy, but everyone's like going with their dads now or like, it's like a big, and it's like, Dave Matthews, I think I would love to go as like an archaeological study just to see who's at the concert. Cause I would assume just like you're saying that it's a bunch of people like that or mid-30s, taking the night off, like got their parents to be the sitter and went to, you know what I mean?
I would honestly go, and I think I would enjoy it. I think I would have a good time listening.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
We go and we pretend we're from the census, and we just keep going up with surveys, asking people their age.
We're with the census. We, we get in for free.
Yeah. We don't like the band. It's a little embarrassing to admit. So we wear our census jackets. It just says census on the back.
You know what is something I like about Dave Matthews Band? I think this like helped them a lot coming up too. The lore of Dave Matthews Band is they encourage people to record their shows, which is a weird, it's like the opposite of every other performer. They're like, no, please start recording, like post this on the internet because it'll help. Like people will see how cool our performances are and then they'll want to come to other shows or buy our shit.
That's interesting. And I mean, they are a concert band, you know, like they tour, you know, they're not like, so like, who are we comparing? You know, the thing is when people are like, I hate Dave, Matt, what are you comparing this to? You know, like a band that never goes out and, you know, you're not even sure if they're like good live. Like these guys are like, no, come to a show. I'll you know, they prove it night after night.
Absolutely. And people, I mean, one of my best friends, and when I started comedy, was a huge Dave Matthews Band fan. And he got me more into them because he would play all these weird, specific live show tracks. And he's like, no, this is it. And we would be on long drives. I was like, fuck, this is good. Like, and he goes, he's got some really deep stuff.
Well, Dave Matthews had this whole album with like Tim Reynolds.
Mm-hmm.
And that was like a huge album. I remember, because I'm not, not a music person. Like, I only know Tim Reynolds from the Dave. Like I was like, in my mind, if Dave says he's good, then this must mean something. Like he put his name on the album. And it's like that whole album. You're like, they're crushing it. Like, and I don't even know who this guy is.
Yeah. My buddy was Josh Cox. We haven't had Josh on the show. Have we? He's going to be pissed that we.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, he did a live one.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That was horrible.
He did the live one in Bloomington. Yeah.
It was, oh, God. He got hammered on that. That was an interesting night. He's banned from the show. I totally forgot about that. Anyway.
What did he defend if he's
I think he did Dave on the. But so on the live ones, we have like eight people all doing a band. Oh, so it's like.
We're doing that this Thursday.
This Thursday. Come out. Yeah.
Get out there. Todd Barry's judging. And we got
Union Hall
and JP McDade and a bunch of people defending some fun bands. We just got the bracket out. I mean, ABBA is an early favorite this time that Dan Yang's doing. But get in there. It's going to be a good time. $10 Union Hall. So he was one of eight. So he only got, and he lost pretty quickly, I think, too. So he only got to defend like one song, but.
Well, I think that like something that also has to be acknowledged, and when you're talking about like them encouraging people to tape their concerts, like they were pretty good marketers. Like they're pretty good business people, the Dave Matthews Band. Like a lot of like their stuff, like you'd see they were doing the concert DVDs and the albums and stuff like that. Like there's something to be said for that, I guess, but people don't want to hear that. I'm sure that would like
turn
business.
Yeah.
What's that?
It would like make people dislike them even more. Like you were good at marketing. Nobody would.
Yeah. This is the argument someone that loves Dave Matthews that people hate would make. Just like, no, business wise, they're good. Like I'm sure that would drive Jared crazy.
Jimmy Buffett's heard that too. And Jimmy Buffett's got some fun songs. So.
Yeah, that's true.
All right. Shall we hear another song here? What do we think? Maybe Bartender next? We didn't listen to that already. Right?
Bartender's great.
Let's hear Bartender. Let's see if I can find it. Okay, here we go. Oh, that's a live one. So let's find one that's okay. Here we go.
Set him free after three. sat here free after 3 days in the ground.
How could you be against the song? I don't. You got horns. Yeah. He's playing. He's giving you everything. He's got passion. He's got horns. He's got a violinist. Like, how in what world are you a music fan and you look at that and you go, no. Like, I don't get it.
I don't get it either. I like that one. The horns are strong in that one.
Strong horns.
Strong
horn. Oh, no.
This was a part of the Lillywhite sessions, a set of songs the band recorded with producer Steve Lillywhite, but decided not to release because members of the band and record label felt they were too depressing. The sessions were leaked on the internet and widely bootlegged. The response from fans was great, which prompted the band to release the songs on an album over a year after they were first recorded. The result was Busted Stuff, which was basically a re-recording of the original sessions. So yeah, I think that's another thing where they're like, yeah, leak our shit, because then it's like less pressure on it to succeed. And then you kind of get a response from fans without it. And people aren't going to be pissed when they hear it again. They're just like, oh yeah, that's the stuff I like.
They're listening to their fans. Mm-hmm. Like, I think like the amount of, I mean, we saw from that quote about Jay-Z, like the amount he doesn't take himself seriously, like is so, it's an intricate part of the Dave Matthews experience. Like, he's having a fun time. Like, I don't like sometimes, you know, you hear people like, they don't like when comics laugh at their own jokes on stage.
Yeah.
I like when comics laugh at their own jokes on stage. It's fun. It's like
so much more fun. And I've heard that too.
Yeah.
I've heard it both ways where people, I remember like doing that and somebody was like, oh, you should never do that. It's like really unprofessional. It takes me out of the moment. And I'm like, well, some people, it's their favorite part of the show. So I don't know what to tell you. Like,
it's the most miserable person says that. Like, I don't know. Like, I can't do much for miserable people, you know, like, it's like, and I understand where they're like, I do agree. Like, if it's not honest, if you're just on stage, like, laughing into the mic so that you don't have to hear silence. Like, yeah, I'm annoyed with that too. But if it's like,
exactly. You can tell when it's like, I think you can tell though, for the most part, when it's not genuine and it's, then it's tacky. But when you see somebody genuinely having fun on stage, you're like, yeah, we're in it. Like, this is the bet. This is what it should be, you know?
That's what I would assume is the most, and is the reason people go to their concerts and they're, you know, big concert draws. Like, people are like, I'm going to have fun. I know I can book the ticket. I know this will be fun. There's going to be nobody yelling at me on stage, you know, like about, you know, how horrible the world is. They're just going to like play it out.
We're about to talk about this on the Patreon, but it's like, I went to see Bright Eyes a couple days ago because the opener, I loved the opener. So I was like, and I'm not a big Bright Eyes fan. I was like, I'll just go though. And it was the first concert I've gotten to go to in a while. And the whole time he kept being like, yeah, if you guys want to leave, like, that's totally fine. Like, he was like such a downer. And I was like, this isn't like, be fun, man. Like, everybody's here to see you. Have a good time. He just kept being like, yeah, sorry, I don't have like a lot of like funny bits or whatever. I'm just going to play songs if that's cool. And it's like, yeah, what do you, nobody's talking to you.
Yeah, no. Nobody came here for the bits.
I'd rather him just seem to have fun rather than being a downer on himself the whole show. He's like, yeah, this might be the last show. We might stop touring. This sucks or whatever. It's like, what? What are you talking?
We're Bright Eyes got to brighten up.
Yeah, I just want to see somebody having a good time. Yeah, which Waxahachie was doing. It was great. Let's hear another song. What do you want to hear next year, Jared? We've heard three now, right? We got three left.
So we heard Have we heard Crush? We heard Crush already.
Crush, Two Step, and Bartender were the first three. Yeah.
Oh, I want this one. Ready?
Yes.
I want Typical Situation.
Perfect. That's exactly what
this I want. This is the one I don't know from your list. So I'm
let's see.
I think you'll know.
Okay. Yeah, maybe I will.
Wait, we just did that. We did this one, didn't we?
No, we haven't done this one.
Okay. I like this song a lot, and I'm a huge fan. But you keep skipping the best parts of Dave Matthews songs, and it's the beginning.
You gotta give me where you want to hear.
I want the beginning.
You want the beginning? All right, I'll play the beginning.
The beginning of every Dave Matthews song is great.
Sure.
Come on, who's playing a cymbal like that?
Fingers counting me out each 9 minutes around the sun repeat. Eight ball will last if you triumphant be. Seven oceans pummel the shores of the sea. It's a typical situation. It's typical time.
I mean, how are you not gonna like that song? Like I don't understand. All there's a horn that came in. Like I just don't understand. And he can go up, he can bring it down, he could play any situation. You could put him on at a barbecue and be totally fine.
Yeah. Yeah. You're gonna have
that's the time. Whole point. You could put him on during lovemaking or a barbecue. That's what Dave Matthews Band is all about.
I don't think that everybody's styles of lovemaking fit this music.
I mean, if you had a little, you know, a dimmer switch, you put that song on, you doing the 10 fingers on a lady's body, you can feel that.
Got a belly full of barbecue.
Belly, yeah, that's right. Coming in after using a wet nap. Here's another song. Play Number 41. That's another good song.
I just pulled that up. That's maybe that is up there. Maybe my favorite Dave Matthews Band song is Number 41. I'm so glad you said it. I was just trying to remember. I was like, I think that's on Crash, and I just pulled up Crash, ready for 41. Number 41. Here it is. I'll play it from the beginning. See, this is the problem with Dave Matthews is some of the songs are like 9 minutes long. So I'm like,
well, that's the thing. He's a jam band.
All right, here's
guys jamming out.
Here's Number 41.
While I'm in the front, the play on time is doesn't this like aren't you just like now? Oh man, cool summer nights.
Yeah.
Like who's not brought to that place? Like I keep coming back to thinking about Jared's review, and I just can't.
I'm nuts. He's gonna be like, "Oh, what the fuck is that?"
I
love it,
and I like Jared. I'm a fan of Jared. I think he's a good guy. I just think, how do you hear that song and go to a place of anger?
Don't look back in anger, Jared. Don't.
Yeah, look forward with with like, couldn't you? Don't you just like you hear that song and there's like a solo cup in your hand?
Oh yeah,
and it's like got a cold beer, and you know you're like debating, you're picking stuff off of the cold tray of plates, like the chip. You're having like a ruffle. You haven't had a ruffle in a while. You're tearing into a ruffle while talking to someone about their lawn maintenance. Like this is living.
That one is that's true. That's probably that one. And I love the song Dodo too, which is a weird one from him. But I like when he goes.
I don't know that one.
His voice is so good in this song, where he does like a little bit of a falsetto at some point. Like he can go really high and like. He's all over the place and it sounds so good. And I just love the progression. That's such a good song.
Well, I don't know Dodo. I'm trying to.
Dodo's a weird one. I'm trying to remember what Dodo's on. Cause I got into Dave Matthews a little bit because my sister, when I got an MP3 player in 2005 or whatever, my sister had a big collection of CDs at her house, and I took a bunch of them and just burned them all onto my thing. And she was really into Dave Matthews, so I got a lot of stuff from her, but I didn't have like the album titles. I just had a big bunch of songs. I gotta find Dodo here.
I got him here doing Dodo on a live stream during the pandemic.
Oh yeah,
solo acoustic.
Wow, I gotta hear that. So
solo Dodo.
Hello, solo Dodo. It looks like it's off of Some Devil, but it's
I know Dodo. Dodo's good. You gotta play this acoustic one because this guy's bringing it.
Is this on I'm assuming this is on
YouTube.
Okay, give me a second here. Dodo acoustic, let's see what.
And isn't it nice, like I'm sure you guys being, you know, this podcast with its following and stuff, you guys got to be worried about copyright infringement. Dave is proud to have you play these songs.
That's true.
Like, isn't that quite a relief to just know Dave is sitting, could listen to this and be happy? He's not like Metallica and gonna like come after you.
Right. I guess we could never do Metallica. I never thought about that before.
Oh yeah. Dave popped up in that Woodstock 99 doc because he was there.
I watched that.
He was?
Yeah, he was there. Yeah.
I watched that Woodstock 99 doc and I have a lot of opinions.
well, Tom's looking this up. Can we hear one of them?
Well, it just felt like it was so interesting the way they demonize people. Like, and you're like, I was just like wondering, like, man, these people went to a concert. We don't know how bad they were, how good, like, obviously there were bad people there, but like, they're just showing people, like, there's like some talking head who was at Woodstock 99. You're like, yeah, these people were animals. They're horrible. But it's like, you were there too. Like, you know, you got paid. He's like, and then they like flash to like footage of like someone like, rock on, man. And it's like, they're all horrible people. Everyone who went was garbage. And it's like, it just was like, oh, they got rich enough to be able to talk shit about something they did in their past. Like they were there. Like, and there's one dude who like ran it, who's like, definitely like just the corporate honcho.
Yeah,
who's
the like bald guy.
The bald guy. And you like, I don't feel for him because he does seem like a dick, but they definitely did whatever they could to make you believe that.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, I thought it was so funny how we were talking about this in my group chat, where it's like, it's so funny that the whole thing is they're like, they were exploiting all these people. And it's like, well, HBO, you're also showing all this footage of naked people that they definitely didn't sign a waiver for. So you're kind of exploiting them too. And
that was like, it was a weird thing of like this, like these people that like were telling you how good they were for noticing it. It's like, yeah, but you didn't say anything. You weren't a hero at the time. Yeah. And then, like, you know, Fred Durst, like, he's like, has his moment of like, we're going to fucking rage. It's like, you let him out on stage. Like, no one was like, you know, cut the music, cut the lights. You know, like, no one did that. I don't know. It was like, it was told from a place of like, okay, if you got on here, we're the heroes and everyone else is the villain. Yeah. And you're like, okay, I don't know. And also it's like, so you could just go to a concert. The concert could be looked back on. Like all of those people that they showed, like our parents now, you know, like did someone see themselves and be like, oh my God, I was a horrible human. Like just cause I went when I was 21. I don't know.
Really fast, Bobby Connen had a great line about them showing like naked people, where it's like, because they come from a tone of like, and they were exploiting like these women by being like, hey, show us your boobs, and then they show the boobs in the documentary. He's like, and he was like, and these are the very boobs that they were showing. Here are those boobs. Yeah.
The doc was gross to look at. Like I don't know. The whole thing was just like, I was like, it's so sad. I don't know. Like, didn't, you know, like, it was so sad. And then you're like, but then where are these? Are we going to go after these people? Like, they're like the Capitol rioters. Like, is that like, we're going to like, do you know what I mean? Like, I didn't know what the point was. I don't know. Do I sound bad? I don't know.
I'm excited to see it. I've been hearing a lot of,
you got
to
watch it.
About it. I got this Dodo live stream pulled up here. Let's hear it.
All right. Got my COVID facial hair and my COVID top of my head. It's just everybody, just a general COVID situation and all that. But I'm happy to be here, and I hope everybody's doing all right. Right on. I'll play some, and then I'll probably babble a little bit, and then maybe I'll play another song.
See, what's a better? How great is this guy? How great is this guy? Like, he's like, I'll babble a little bit. Like, he knows he's a babbler. Like, come on.
Finally.
Once upon a time, when the world was just a pancake, fields would arise, the devil went too far, you'd fall. Yeah, but with the passage of time, the world became more of a ball, and where I saw that, as we all once were, when the world was flat. So I wonder, this is like yellow smoke inside of my head. This little game.
This is acoustic. This is acoustic. What are we talking about? Jared, I'm mad at Jared now. How do you listen to that song? And you're just stewing? Like, are you mad? Like, what's the, again, like, I'm reading the comments too. Like, the comments are happy. Like, the comments are like, ridiculous. So great to hear in this setting. Bloody amazing, Dave. Funny the way it is that is Dodo inspired me to go over the edge, traveling the cave, inspiring people. I fucking love this song. Wow, this song came out in 2003. It's 2021 now. What the fuck? We're getting old, Teddy. You know, like
2021. It's like, well, this is 2021, but
yeah.
I it's funny to hear that song now that there's like flat earthers that have arisen, because the line where he's like, he's like, we were sure the world was flat. It all became more of a ball. And he's like, we're as sure of that as we all once were that the world was flat. And it makes it sound like, well, maybe it is flat. And it's like,
I'll believe anything Dave Matthews says.
Yeah. I love that song. And yeah, that one's off Some Devil. The acoustic version was great. I like the studio version a lot. It's but that he still got it, man. The pipes are working. Have we listened to six songs? I think that might have been six, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
One every day.
Here, do you want to hear any more before we wrap this up?
I think I'm good. I mean, I think I've proven my point. I get not one of those songs takes you to a bad place.
I enjoyed this playlist a lot. We have one final segment before we get to the writing of the playlist, and that is where we go to the peanut gallery. The listeners of this show like to throw in their 2 cents. And first off, we go to people on the Patreon. Adam Shellhammer says, honestly, in my opinion, they are great musicians and a great band. They have a somewhat unique effect in that they have embraced two personas, one being a band who creates popular rock songs, and the other being a group of incredible musicians with an experimental sound like no other, who can create some incredible songs that stick with you once you give them a real chance. He's had some moments, but I don't think Dave is always the best lyricist, and I can understand those criticisms. All right, fair enough.
That's a thoughtful review.
Yeah,
I mean, there's some lyrics that I go, yeah, I feel a little corny for listening to them. But like when it comes to the whole song, you know, you're like, we went to a place.
Yes.
Barbecue or sex? You could do it in both settings. How?
I think we talked about once on the show before, but I always hate that and crash into me, the hike up your skirt that whole part.
Yeah, but you would, you know, that's like the that's like one of those things that you say to your girlfriend, but not to like a random person on the street.
Yeah.
You know, like it's like if it's to your girlfriend, she's like, oh, I can't wait to get you later. You know,
yeah.
I would say Dave Matthews is girlfriend music. It is love making music, not fucking.
Yep.
Love making. It is the woman you brought to the barbecue. You will be going home with music. I like this barbecue thing I got
working. Yeah, I like it too. Yeah.
Good. Really quick. Adam also posted a link to a Vice article where Unknown Mortal Orchestra listens to Dave Matthews Band for the first time, which I am curious if you're on the Patreon, you'll see it. And then AJB says, I've always hoped that y'all would bring up the rare gems as People and Shotgun are songs that would change anyone's mind on the band. Really quick, I think I may have referenced Shotgun last time we talked about them. Shotgun, I almost wasn't going to talk about it, but because it's depressing, where it's a song about his sister being murdered. And it's really...
His sister got murdered?
Yeah, it's it was like a murder-suicide with her, I believe, with her husband. I if I have that wrong, I apologize, but that's what the story that I was told by one guy. Hey. Horrible story. And he has this song that it's one of the most like rare Dave Matthews songs that he plays because it's so emotional, but it's so fucking good. I highly recommend looking it up if you haven't heard it. It's
I'm looking it up.
Yeah.
Maybe not during the barbecue playlist, but
you're not going to want this. On the playlist. Nobody's hiking up.
That's going to go on when the desserts come out at the end. Yeah. That comes on when the desserts come out, people have left, you know, you brought out like the whiskey for the real friends at the barbecue, yeah. You know, like, hey, let's throw on Shotgun, you know, like the friends that you can get a little sad with.
Yes. Yes.
That's when Shotgun comes on. You know, like it's too dark to see each other. You lit a candle, you put on the citronella candles to like get the mosquitoes away.
Yeah. Yeah. Real fast. Yes, this she has a lot here. She said, and there's something amazing about the community of true DMB fans that 40 has never been released, but we all recognize the lyrics from the Yoshi recording as the official version of an unreleased song. I will say, Idea of You was always an incredible special unreleased song, and its release on Come Tomorrow is a bummer because it never lived up to the live tracks Fenway version. Now here's what I think about a lot. Dave is now a happily married family man. He wrote Sweet about teaching his son how to swim, which warms my stupid little heart. But before that, he had a great love with Julia Gray. He wrote I'll Back You Up at Gray Street about her. He also wrote Halloween about her, which is the most heartbreaking and savage breakup song. A real fuck you of a song. Fair enough. He proposed 3 times and she said no every time. But even now, when he performs Halloween, you can still feel his anger. It makes me wonder how his wife must feel about that. In my early 20s, I always saw that as an epic and crazy love, and I can't say I've romanticized the story of his wife and him being a family man. Okay, damn.
I didn't know any of that stories. Gray Street's a great song.
Yeah, I love Gray Street.
Gray Street's a great song.
Yeah, I haven't heard the Halloween song. Now I want to hear that, and I would have never assumed that's what it's about. But I got to hear that now. Thank you, AJB. She also says, on a more personal note, I have a spreadsheet to keep track of which songs/versions/teasers I've seen live, like my own personal DMBalmanac.com.
See, See, the thing is, like, isn't this person offended when they talk about Dave Matthews Band fans? Like, this fan is a great fan of the band. Like, they have meaning to it. They know the life story behind it. There's actual meaning to these songs. Like I didn't even know. Listen, I am the worst represent. Maybe I'm the best representation of the group because I'm just like, it's good. Like, I'm just like, I'm not gonna like go too far to be like it'll change your life. Like, this person might come on and be like, oh, you don't know, he loves proposing, and I don't know, it might get a little too serious. But like, this person should be offended. Jared hates them. Not this Jared, the Jared that reviewed.
Yeah, that's gonna get confusing. Yeah, that's good. Jared hates you.
No. But you know, like, this person's a good fan. Like, they love the music and take something from it. And like, I didn't know he asked to get married 3 times. I if I was the new wife, I'd be like, wow, you only asked me once. You know, like,
he was proposing like he was ordering up candy, man. Will you marry me? I missed a couple of these here because they were from yesterday. Randy Ramos says DMB is one of the bands that the perception of their fans hurt the band. Very talented band with some very good songs, but a generation of entitled white guys wearing sandals and shell necklaces listening to them made the mention of the band a bother.
What is this guy? Was this guy on the Woodstock 99 doc?
I have to point out that I gave a little space there because he put in parentheses, Tommy will probably make a Winnie the Pooh joke here. last one here from the Patreon is Ron Trimbat says, my dad used to work concert security at the Gorge in Eastern Washington. He loves to tell the story of a guy they had to kick out because he says he's punching the shit out of himself. It must mean he was punching the shit out of himself. Apparently he was so drunk and filled with emotion that he began beating his own ass to stop crying and being pussy.
Oh my God.
Hands marching does still slap though.
I mean,
we got both sides of the spectrum there with,
sure. That's the fan that everyone's talking about. Yep. Like, stop crying, pussy.
Oh, that's great. I don't, did we even post on the Twitter? I don't,
there's nothing. No, there was only one comment.
Okay. I'll read a couple from the Facebook cause we got so many. We don't have time to read a lot. So get on the Patreon, people. If you want your stuff guaranteed, to be read. Alex Price says when they started, their bassist was so young, he had to wait outside after shows because they were in bars. That's cool. I like this story from Nick Lasica. Says, saw a license plate once that said something like DMB girl, and the license plate frame had to clarify that it stood for Dave Matthews Band and that she wasn't a dumb girl.
Oh my God. Well, I think like the fan thing, if you think about it, I guess they're the most accessible band.
Yeah.
Like when you're highly accessible, and you get that big mm-hmm. by a group of people who don't really like care to like find music, then you're going to get like that type of person that you don't really respect as a music fan. Right. Like, it's like, you know, when you see someone in a t-shirt that says Nine Inch Nails, but they bought it at Forever 21, and you wonder if this is where fandom's going, because you can purchase a personality now. Like, you know, like what bands are there now? Like I just found out about, I love their music. Ah, damn it. It's, and I found out about them because everyone on TikTok was making fun of them from their SNL. It was an SNL song.
It wasn't the Chainsmokers, was it? No, they're made fun of on TikTok.
It was
SNL musician music.
No, I can. I was just listening to them. Greta Van Fleet.
Oh, okay, yeah. I haven't actually listened to them yet, but I've heard of them.
Greta Van Fleet, but they sound exactly like an '80s hair band. Mm-hmm. Like they sound like, and people have like kind of made fun of them for that, where they're like, But if you listen to it, you're like, this is a real band. Like, you're like, this is great. Like,
yeah,
you know, but I think like you wouldn't, I don't know if you would hear about these guys because like, they're like, you know, the accessibility of like everyone else, like they're not like, they became accessible because of TikTok and people making fun of them. If you look up the TikTok video, it's like crazy. Like people are like, if you look up Greta Van Fleet, it's just because he's like a little awkward. He's like making weird faces at the screen. So everyone's copying him.
I got to look that up. Shit. Oh, I wanted to point out real fast because somebody was like, it's, I just think it's nice. Janelle James says they got some bops. She came out of the there. So, you know,
they sound great. Sorry to go back. Greta Van Fleet sounds like Led Zeppelin. Like it's exactly the same.
That, yeah.
But but then they were like, Led Zeppelin actually like came out and was like, we like them. Like, you know, like, cool, and it's like, but I don't know. It's just interesting with music. Like if it's accessible, we tend to hate the fans. If it's inaccessible, that's what people like about the fans.
Yeah.
Like, oh, they actually are interested.
Yeah, for sure. Really quick, because I didn't touch on this. Holly Moore says, number 41 is still one of my favorite songs, but I still don't know how to interpret the song. Would love to know what you guys think. Sorry, no crazy stories from when I saw them live, as usual, LOL. I read about this when we were, like, before the episode, because I was like, I don't know what this is about either. Apparently, number 41 is about him, like, he was starting to get some fame, and he was dealing with not enjoying making music because it was all about money for a minute, and people were like digging at him to get money from him, and him just struggling with like, now people want shit from me, and before I was just having a good time making music. So there you go, I have a little bit of information on it. Last one I will read is Darren Patterson says, I'm gonna listen to the episode just so I can hear what would you say. Well, you didn't. all right. I think that that's enough of those comments. We've reached the end of this episode, Jared. So that leaves us with just the rating of the playlist. But before that, you get the floor for your final thoughts on Dave Matthews Band. What do you want to leave us with?
I'll leave you with this. It's the perfect band for you and a person you are making love with, not having sex. Someone you love, someone, it is the perfect band to go to a barbecue, have a few drinks, stay a little late, have the whiskey that they saved for the real OGs. And then you go home and you flip it on and you two embrace in sensual lovemaking. And to anyone that has an issue with the band, I would again encourage you to go and, you know, take a look in the mirror. Maybe your problem, maybe you're latching on to problems of the past instead of looking to the positivity of the future.
I think that's fair.
Right?
That's fair. So we rate the playlist out of 6 songs, or out of 6 because we listen to 6 songs. I'm going to go with a strong 5 out of 6 here because I enjoyed it a lot. I can't bring myself to go perfect, but I enjoyed it quite a bit. And I do want to say that if you make love while listening to this, when you finish, you should call it that you busted stuff.
Women love that when you say stuff like that.
I just busted stuff. Tommy, what do you got?
Yeah, whenever I listen to Dave, I don't listen to it too often, but it makes me so nostalgic. Like, I very specifically go back to freshman year of college, which was like a great time in my life. So it always makes me feel good when I hear these songs. I think they are great songs. Like, I think people hate the band. I've never hated them. I don't listen to them too much, but it always makes me happy when I listen to it, I would say. So yeah, I had a good time listening to it. I'm going to deduct 2 points for that big number 2 they dropped in My Favorite City and give them 4 out of 6. So no.
That's great. Story. Jared, well, you get to rate it too, by the way.
6 out of 6. There I mean, go. I can't really, I was just, I have 3 new songs queued up on my computer to listen to while I take a shower right now. Like, I am like genuinely excited for this new deal. And I'm looking at people, and it says rare song next to it. And they look, you know, 14 years old here. So I don't know. I had a great time talking to you guys about it. I think this is like, maybe we need to let go of the person that you're thinking of that you hate because of Dave Matthews. I think we got to let go. I hope people got the happiness out of this that we get listening to these songs, you know?
Yeah. I think they will. I think people are going to have a good time with this one. I was surprised that most of the comments were positive. I felt like very little shitting on the music. If anything, they were like, oh, the fan base bums me out. But it's like, especially during, now that, you know, we've spent it, you know, over a year inside or whatever, like, or we spent all that time. I hope you just find a way to let go of the people like that who are bothering you know?
Well, the other, I think there's a big thing to me. There's a big point to be made of, if you're genuinely like a straight up like good person, people genuinely like want to get involved with your stuff. And I think like Dave Matthews has slowly earned the world's trust as the good guy. Like, I think only shitty people get canceled. Like, I do think like if someone gets canceled, you usually find out like people are like, yeah, we've been ready to get rid of this guy forever. There was like 1,000 things that like, we couldn't, you know, finally we have an opportunity to not talk to them anymore. And it's like, I think with Dave Matthews, people are like looking for reasons to talk to him. Like, I want to get to know this guy. And, you know, when it comes to the music, you go, he's a good guy, you know?
Absolutely. Jared, this was so fun. And I think you did a great job of defending DMB. Is there anything you want to promote on the way out? You, of course, have you up in the J Train pod. I know you're doing live dates, right?
I'm doing shows. When does this come out? This is the famous podcast.
Wednesday.
Question. Yeah. So I'm going to be in Richmond, Virginia this weekend. I'm going to be in Chicago for a whole week.
Hell yeah.
At the end of August. I'm at Mohegan Sun. But if you go to my calendar, jaredfreed.com, and then at jaredfreed on Instagram, I'm yelling at the Bachelor and Bachelorette if you want to have a good time. Yeah. So wait, before we go, I referenced this in the beginning. Do you mind if I read an article?
Hey, do it.
Yeah, please. Yeah.
Okay. This is from July 15th, 2013. So I guess I thought it was recently. Dave Matthews hitchhikes to concert with fan after his bike broke. Dave Matthews was out for a bike ride when he got a flat tire hours before a show, leaving him stranded in Hershey, Pennsylvania. I did not have a cell phone on the bicycle, Matthews recalled later that night. So I thought, shit. Then a quote-unquote dream girl came to his rescue. Emily Krause, who's been a Dave Matthews fan since she was 9 years old, was driving to the concert with her boyfriend when they saw a man on the side of the road and pulled over. She offered her rock god a ride to his own show. We didn't know how to make conversation with him, Krause told CBS 21. We were talking about his tour, where he had come from. He had just been in Cincinnati, and he said, I'm taking a short break after this one because I have to drop my daughters off at camp. He was just a very humble guy. Matthew sang for them on the ride. That's a little weird.
That's crazy.
That's crazy. He sang for them. We were like, man, how little conversation did they have? Like, where he's like, will crash into me.
Like, okay.
Matthew sang for them on the ride and thanked the couple with an invitation to dinner, 2 front row seats and backstage access. During the show, he put on a really weird, scratchy Dave Matthews-y voice and gave a shout out to his rescuer. Watch the video below so you can see the video.
That's
incredible.
That is an incredible.
How incredible is that?
You got that in there. That is insane. The fact that he started singing in the car. I do wonder if he's like, yo, y'all want me to sing or something? Like, or he just started doing it because that is so weird.
Hey, ass, gas, or crash. No one rides for free.
All right.
So about it.
Thanks so much, Jared. Real quick, if you like, we said live Stand By Your Band, Union Hall, Thursday. I also have Good God on Wednesday at the Sultan Room. And by the way, I was just on this podcast, Are You Garbage, that I got to promote. It was fucking great. Those guys are killing it over there. So check that out and get on the Patreon. Tommy, what you got?
Yeah, yeah. Come to the live show. What else? Oh, and me and Luke have our show at Union Hall again August 20th. So look out for that. And Zany's September 14th back in Chicago. So buy tickets for that. Yeah.
Do it up, people. Thanks so much, Jared Fried. You're the best. Great time. And all right, guys, we'll see you next week. Keep it crispy. Bye.
If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.